4, 4, 4, 4, 4. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the EG Pod Thunder with your boy, the young light-skinned Keith Sweat. And to my left, my guy, Charlie, has made his debut on the EG Pod Thunder. Thank you for coming through, my guy.
I appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, man. You actually were on the podcast before, but it was like a blooper reel. We were at Game Breakthroughs Providence City Classic, and I was amateur doing first time like on football field interviews, and I didn't have windscreens on the mics, and it came out terrible.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's crazy. I did not like. I was like, watch it back. I'm like, oh my god, this is awful.
Yeah, and that was a real windy day too.
Dude, so. It was crazy how windy that day was. You know, how'd you even link up with my guy, Prop City? My guy, SD for the Prop City Classic. I know you guys have been together for a little bit now. So how'd you even link up with SD in the first place?
So we graduated the same year. He played at St. Ray's. I played at Woonsocket. We both graduated in 2008. And then we both kind of came on the coaching scene in Rhode Island at the same time. I know he had spent some time being a GA and stuff, but when I got the head coach job in 2017, I believe he got the Coventry job in 18. And just being two young coaches, we kind of just...
gravitated towards each other.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Is that something like... Were you and SD always... I play at Saints as well. I don't think... We never faced you guys at that point in time. We were in two different divisions.
Yeah.
So were you like guys aware of each other in high school?
Yeah. I mean, he won Gatorade Player of the Year that year. So kind of everybody was aware of SD, so...
Yeah, SD was on one that year for sure. Yeah. How was your 08 Woonsocket year or the years you were there?
So I broke my collarbone my senior year, so I only played 4 games. We went 7-4. We missed out on the playoffs. I remember we lost to Mount Hope, like last play of the game, like on a reverse. I can still picture it. Every time I go to that field, I remember that. But they went left on like a sweep, reversed it to the right, and it was over for us.
Damn. So was that part of like your one of the reasons why you wanted to go back? We'll touch a whole bunch of different topics.
Yeah.
But is like one of the reasons why you went back to Woonsocket was to kind of like change that model of like what people saw and envisioned Woonsocket as?
Yeah. I mean, of course. I feel like everybody, whether they like to admit it or not, everybody coaches because they can't play no more, right?
For sure.
So that's kind of how I started my career. I'm from Woonsocket. I played at Woonsocket. I'm really thankful to be coaching at Woonsocket. I love my job there. But yeah, it's just kind of just trying to prove to people that Woonsocket's just as good as everybody else. They just kind of needed the right direction, and hopefully I can provide that.
Yeah. Did you think, like, playing in Woonsocket, do you guys feel that, like, pressure? I feel like even when I've had other players on, I've had a whole bunch of athletes on, they will admit, like, when they face Hendricken, people have that, like, they don't like to admit it, but now they admit it after they play. They're like, now we do have, like, that kind of that scary feeling, like, oh, we're playing Hendricken. Do you guys feel that kind of opposite way where it's like, oh, people are judging us because we are Woonsocket? Do you guys have that?
So I think it's the opposite. Like, when we play those big schools, like, this year alone, we played our two best games this year were probably Central and Cumberland. Like, we played our best games against those two teams. And those are arguably the two best teams we played against all year. So it just seems like when we play the big teams, like, we got a point to prove, so we're going to show up. But, I mean, we got to be able to do that shit every week, right?
Yeah, do you think that's a little difficult? Like, how are you guys getting them ready for those type of big games?
I mean, it's the same way of every game. You know, I try to coach every game like it's a Super Bowl. If you've ever been to any of our games, you see me on the sideline treating it like it's a Super Bowl. But just getting them to believe that it's week in and week out process. You got to treat everybody like it's a Super Bowl. And then when you get to that level, that's when you have them championship teams where there's no letdown every single week, no matter who you're playing. Because like I said, this year we went out and played a 2-0 game against Central, one of the best high school games I've ever seen defensively. I'm sure Mike will even admit to that. Like, it was 2-0. You don't really see many 2-0 games.
2-0 games?
2-0 games.
How in the world?
And it wasn't like it was a pouring rain game or nothing like that. Like, it was a little wet, but it was just a physical game. And if we could have brought that type of physicality all year, which I knew we could have because we brought it again the last game of the year. But if we could have brought that physicality all year, I think we would have been all right. But
that's crazy. Yeah, man, we're kind of jumping all over the place. So, like, from the back to the beginnings. So, high school, did you play in college? No. Do you think that was something like, I'm the same way. I feel like I could have been, I've seen the podcast plenty of times before. I feel like if I had better, like, I guess more family, like, my dad was more, like, pushing me to do it. I had better, but my high school coaches were there for sure. Like, Coach Ngambi, I mean, I was around a whole bunch of, you know, talented kids, Niall, Gene, SD Monk. Yeah. I just like didn't have that like pressure on myself to like be better.
Yeah.
You know, did you have like ambitions playing college, or that just didn't even go into your head at that point?
Yeah. So I mean, I wanted to be a great player. I just unfortunately didn't think I ever really was. But you know, breaking my collarbone my senior year really kind of put a dent in my plans. So yeah, I guess that's kind of why I coach the way I do. Like, I'm angry. I wanted to be great. I wasn't great. So I'm trying to be great at this, and I want kids to follow that path and be great, you know
for sure. So what after high school, what'd you do after that? Like, did you go college? Did you the timeline for you?
I ended up playing semi-pro for a few years, and then I got into coaching in 2011. So I graduated in 08 and started coaching in 2011.
Damn, that was a rapid turnaround.
Yeah, so it's kind of doing some stupid stuff that I shouldn't have been doing, and thankfully I had people reach out to me and give me a spot coaching. This guy Eddie Ouellette, who's just retired in Woonsocket, he's our DC. He kind of opened the door for me to coach in what the time was, Woonsocket Redskins. It was like the varsity team in that youth league. And then Georgian City kind of opened the door for me coaching at Woonsocket. And then I coached for Carnell Henderson. I was his freshman coach for a few years. He kind of really prepped me to be the coach I was today. And I just kept running. We're working up the ladder. Started as a freshman coach. Went to wide receiver D-backs. Went to D.C., and now I'm the head coach. So
yeah, that's crazy because, you know, like in Rhode Island, we kind of touched upon it off camera a little bit. You see these coaches kind of just stay at their place forever, for like 50 years. How do you even like manage to become a head coach that fast?
Work, man, work. Like I said, you know, I was blessed to have a lot of leaders that kind of showed me the ropes. And then I feel like the people who kind of gave me the job and put me in a direction kind of seen how I worked, and they kind of believed in the process. I mean, I got the job 6 hours before the season even started.
That was great. How did that happen?
I just met with the AD, and she gave me the job six hours before. And like I said, I didn't even think I was going to get the job. I went in there and just been me. You know what I mean? I didn't think they were going to buy it, but they bought it. And I'm just me. I don't really ever try to put on no front. But got the job 6 hours before the season started. Called my boy Brett. He was my first call to be my wide receivers coach. Then I called Patrick Pass, who was actually a former Patriot player.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And I asked him to be my DC. And when he kind of agreed, that's when I kind of felt like, all right, I might really be good at this, because if I can get somebody like that to believe in me, then I kind of must be on the right path, right?
100%. And shout out to Patrick Pass, because he's always like in the community, too. You don't see someone like always. That being...
One of the best people I ever met, man.
How'd you link up with him? Cause I said, well, he's always around the community, so yeah. He's just there and you.
So he coached one for Woonsocket in 2016. He did 1 year there. He knew this guy Bugged up, Jermaine Robinson. Shout out Bugs Barbecue. But yeah, he knew him and he kind of linked us up to come help him volunteer for a year. But like I said, Pat is one of the best blessings I ever had in my coaching career for sure.
That's dope, man. Yeah. So do you think you've run into challenges sometimes because you didn't play in college, or do you think people still respect you no matter what? Like, how did you make that transition? Like, were you just like a X and O's type of guy?
Yeah, so I mean, I played quarterback for a while, I played wide receiver for a while. So I knew football in and out. I don't think it's ever no barrier that I don't really understand or know. And then at the end of the day, it was just work, man. Like I told you on the way here, like, we didn't have to talk about nothing outside of football because I don't really have a life outside of that. Like, this is what I do every single day, whether I'm in a weight room with the kids in the off season, or I'm out watching film, or I'm talking chalkboard with the kids, or I'm just watching football. Like, UFL about to start, NFL stopped.
Hey,
St. Louis Battlehawks be rolling, bro.
That's your team?
Yeah, that's my team, man.
Is it because of the Rams, like, it's the Rams, correlation?
Yeah,
yep. Yes. You say?
I said, unfortunately, they wear the color blue. I'm not a big fan of the blue. I see you got the slides on, but...
Yeah, it's just... You don't see me off camera, so like, I might put some sneakers on. But, yeah, man. So do you think like that's one of the I think you can either agree or disagree. That's one of the biggest like things with the new era of coaching I see. You know, like SD when he was in Rhode Island still is a breakthrough. And, you know, with Coach Mike at Central, I feel like these new like era coaches they're so involved all season long. You know, I speak to when I played like in high school, stuff like that. My coaches, they were there for football season. That was it. It's yeah. on you to work out. It's on you to do track. It's on you to lift. It's on you to get better.
Yeah.
I feel like these coaches nowadays, like, it's kind of more like down south. Down south is 24/7, 365 all the time.
All the time.
So do you think that's like one of the biggest things why we're kind of seeing uptick in Rhode Island football. You know, you're telling me that you have about 6 or 7 of your players kind of commit this year to football.
Yeah, we should have five. 5 out of 7 seniors.
5 out of 7 seniors.
Yeah.
So you don't really, especially, you know, in like a small city like Woonsocket, you don't really see that. Do you think it's because of these new era coaches that are involved 24/7, 365?
I mean, I think it helps. At the end of the day, it's, you spend more time at home than you do with us. So it starts at home. Luckily, those 5 out of 7 have, 7 out of 7 have phenomenal parents. But it starts at home. Obviously, we can just piggyback what the parents are preaching. But between the study halls and the weightlifting and all that kind of stuff, we're prepping you for that. So it's not like you're going to get blindsided when you go to college or anything like that. But it definitely helps to have that younger bond. I feel like I mix well with my kids. I have since I've gotten the job. And I think them relating to me definitely helps them, you know, show up and want to actually put the work in to be great and to live out those college football dreams, you know. But, I mean, as far as, like, SD, you know, he's put kids into school all everywhere he went, whether it was Coventry, whether it was Westerly. You know, Mike puts guys out every year. I know Blake Simpson puts out guys every year. So maybe it is a young coaching thing, you know. But if you can get the kids to buy in, it doesn't matter if you're old, young, or whatever. It's just kind of having the relationship to get them to buy in, right?
Yeah, no, for sure, because – you know, even like, you know, SD, when he was there, he changed Coventry around. So, like, I'm assuming, like, not always, but, you know, there's always kids with great family, stuff like that. So, having a great family doesn't always transition to being good at football on a good football team. So, how were you able to, like, change around? From my knowledge, when Sock was kind of down, then you went there and you kind of just flipped the script.
Just showing them you care. Like, I'm not afraid to tell my kids I love them. You know what I mean? And they're not afraid to say that I love you back. And I think that's a big thing. Like these kids know I got them in and out. So when you're able to provide that type of love and brotherhood, like, sky's the limit, man. Them kids are going to ball for me.
Yeah.
Ball for us. You know what I mean? Because all my coaches show the same type of love. It's not like it's a, you can only hit me up from 3 to 6 every day. Like, my phone's on or every single day. You can email me, text me, call me, whatever you got to do. And they know how to get to hold of me. I mean, I know most of my kids' parents. If I'm trying to recruit a kid in the building, it's, yo, what's your name? Oh, you related to so-and-so? I know your aunt, uncle, brother, sister, mom, dad, somebody in your family. So it's very easy to recruit when soccer, for me at least. But they know I got them. You know what I mean? They know we got them as far as the whole staff. And it's not even just when you play for us. It's years after the fact, too. So,
how you is that same thing when you're trying to keep these kids from going to, like, Hendrickson or LaSalle, stuff like that? How are you keeping these kids in-house and not want to go to those bigger schools?
So the kids have left, to be honest with you. I haven't really even had that conversation with me. They kind of just went, which, I mean, it's your choice. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit there and beg for anybody to play one soccer. You want to play here, you play here. I know what I can do for my kids. I'll put that up against any program in the state. Like, what my staff does for my kids, I can put it against any staff in the state. You know, I attest to it. What we do here works. If you buy in, you can live out your dreams here just like you can anywhere else.
Yeah, you know, I know this for a while. I mean, Hendrickson kind of just runs Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And it's tough where people, they just want to go there because they think they're getting the best opportunities for them. You know, and my brother went to Hendrickson. It's a great school and stuff like that. But it's tough when all the kids are on one. It's like, how are you going to shine there?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's so tough.
If we're putting out 5 or 7 seniors in the college this year, what's that ratio? What's that percentage? You know what I mean? So I think we're doing it just fine. You can believe in it. You don't have to believe in it. I don't really care. All the validation I need is from my kids. So.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a little tough, but.
And, like, you're going to go drive 40 minutes to school every day.
It's,
if that's what you want, that's what you want.
Especially now with the, on 95 bridge, you're going to catch that traffic just moving by it. I catch it every single day going back to going to work, just driving by it. I'm like, I get caught in that traffic. Imagine now going forward. Oh my God, it's going to be brutal.
I mean, anywhere you go, it is what you make of it, right? I mean, if you're good enough, they're going to find you anywhere you go. So.
Yeah. It's tough because I feel like everyone thinks, though, you have to go to Henry or LaSalle to get those offers, and you definitely don't now, especially now with breakthrough and stuff like that.
No, not at all. And like I said, shout out to Stan because he's really put Rhode Island on the map as far as the breakthrough and as far as just the whole 7-on-7 completely. And like you said, he turned Coventry around. He may not have won that ring, but that team was his team. You know what I mean? They just kind of steamrolled off of what he left. So
yeah, that was like a, he had to have like, that's like a proud dad moment for sure.
Oh God, yeah. God, yeah. I know he was at that Super Bowl.
Oh.
Pretty sure, I'm pretty sure I was there with him.
So. Yeah, man. So speaking of, we kind of brought up in the beginning, Prop City Classic. So are you like in the 7-on-7 breakthrough circuit as well?
Yeah, so it started off because like Just off of that area alone, like that Northern Rhode Island area, I don't really think that there was anyone for Breakthrough. So I kind of try to help Stan provide that area. And then we actually had a lot of kids involved early, so that definitely helped. But I love what he does. It's definitely a big thing. Like, I think kids just need that year-round football. So, I mean, providing that for them is huge. Giving them that platform is huge. And just the competition, being able to go out there and compete. Because, like, if you play on these regular little flag leagues you have at Wide World Sports or whatever, you're going to get – the competition's going to vary, right?
Well, for sure.
At least if you're playing Breakthrough, you're getting that A1 competition. So,
are you doing, like, the travel circuits with them too?
Nah, so I don't do the Travis circuit with them for the Breakthrough. I mean, for the Prof City Classic, I'm going to be doing one of the field managers for them. So,
oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So you don't – do you ever have a team with them?
Yeah, so I do the summer league for them. I take one of the teams in the summer league every year. So we've done that for 3 years. This will be the fourth.
Do you have any like cool memories? Like, what's some of your best memories of Breakthrough?
Honestly, just watching the competition is awesome, man. Like, it's honestly, like, every time I show up to, you know, the 7-on-7 in the summer league, I'll just go start walking on the field and I'll just take out my phone ready to post something. And you'll just see a wild play. And it's literally like that almost every single play. Like, somebody's head tapping, somebody making a dive and pass breakup, somebody's making a great catch. It's fun to watch, man. Very fun to watch.
How do you feel about, like, celebrations now, stuff like that? I know celebrations are, like, huge in 7-on-7. Are you a fan of them, the throwing up and the shooting the gun and stuff like that?
Not at all, bro. not a fan of the sunglasses, the dances, the shit talk. I mean, the shit talking is just competition, right? But I'm just about football, bro. I just want to win. You can leave all that side shit, the Instagram, all that shit to the side. I'm just about winning.
Do you think it's, like, key, though? Like, do you think it's, like, you need it for, like, the marketing purposes of 7-on-7 and Breakthrough and stuff like that?
I mean, I definitely think it adds the provided flash. I think the kids enjoy that stuff. But it ain't going to help you get it out the mud. That's for damn sure. You put the pads on, all that talking and stuff ain't going to work. So, but my biggest thing is, like, the sunglasses thing. Like, especially when you're playing out there with no pads on. If somebody do a pass breakup and that lens go in your eye or something, that's just real dangerous. So I try to frown upon the sunglasses thing. I don't let my kids ever wear that when we do our own 7-on-7. But if it ain't in the rules, Stan, run with it, bro.
Yeah, no, because it's funny because I feel like a new era coach, you'd be all about it.
Yeah, like so I'm a new era coach. I'm young, but I coach old school. Like, I'm about running the football, playing defense. Like I said, if you're in Rhode Island, you're trying to win a Super Bowl, you got to do that in November. It's cold, it's cold, it's rainy, it's snowy, it's windy. You want to go air raid, bro. Good luck. Because I've had people try to go air raid against me, and that shit don't work.
No, yeah, man. I'm a Dolphins fan, and I was at the goddamn Kansas City game. So I know throwing it up isn't going to work 24-7.
Exactly.
First of all, shout out to Mahomes. People like to shit on Tua. But it's like, bro, were you guys there? I was there. It was fucking cold. Imagine playing a regular cold game when the ball's hard. Never mind when it's -9. So, like, people are shitting on Tua, but it's like, give Mahomes credit to even throw the ball like that.
He's special, man. Like, he's that good. People can say the NFL's rigged. You can say whatever you want. That man is that good.
Bro, he's that dude, for sure.
He's that good. Like, you can see even games where they don't show up in the first half. They down 24-3 at half, and this man just come willing to win. And you can see him physically willing them to win. Like, he's special. It's fun to watch, man. I love watching. I got all 22. I watch Kansas City probably more than any other team. I watch more than the Rams.
He's a Kansas KC fan now.
Yeah, you got to just appreciate the greatness, man.
How do you feel about people with their passion? Like, when Travis Kelce hit Andy Reid being the head coach, what would you have done in that situation? Is that you let it slide because Kelce or the passion, or what are you doing there? You bench him?
So I've had a Travis Kelce, man. I had this man, Dwayne O'Hagan. He's Travis Kelce, man. It's passion. It's got to be a give and take situation. I don't think everybody can react like that, but you do have your special guys that you give room for that. You know what I mean? He was one of them, and then it's tough because, like, even like Travis Kelce, you give him the ball, he scored. So he was kind of probably right. So that was kind of the same thing with Gizmo, man. Like, he complained about not getting the ball, but then you give him the ball and he scores, and he just like, ah. Shit, he right. But it's definitely
that's coaching itself, though, to, like, admit, be like, Kelce is right.
Of course. But as a player, you got to have that line where you got to respect the coach. But at the same time, as a coach, you got to respect the player and their opinions. And obviously, you're not going to take everybody's opinion. You're not always going to do what they say to do. But you have your few on the team that if they tell you to do something, you got to take it into consideration. Right?
How do you feel? Like, how should, like, the other players feel, though? It's like, all right, man, you're letting Kelce do this. why can't I do this? You're like, bro, you just ain't that good. Like,
check the stats, bro. Did you do that? Nah, he can do that. But in the same scheme of light, then it's just got to be a respect level. And like I said, when my guy did it, he always apologized, and I believe Kelsey apologized right after too. It's in the heat of the moment thing, and like I said, especially in Woonsocket, you know, we kind of give that little bit of leeway. But if you don't apologize, you're gonna eat that on Monday.
No, I'm sure you put out their fix.
Yeah, and like I said, you're probably gonna eat it regardless. But I guess you just gotta know and pick and choose your battles. Obviously, make it known that it ain't right. But at the same time, if you feel some type of way, voice it. Right. And like I said, my team, we a family, we a brotherhood. If you're feeling some type of way, man, voice it. Because if you disgruntled, you ain't helping nobody, right?
But I think it's like that weird thing, though, because, you know, growing up, I've been around football pretty much my entire life. My brother played after. And, you know, my brother really didn't have to deal with it. He was one of the better players. But they always say, like, oh, we don't want to hear from parents. We don't want to hear from the players. Suck it up. Prove it on the field. Yes, I get that. But there's definitely some teams where, like, if you do speak up, you kind of get, like, punished afterwards. And it's like, well, you want us to be communicate, but when we communicate, you kind of punish us afterwards. It seems like it's not the case in Woonsocket, though.
So, I mean, obviously, there's got to be the player-coach boundary, right? You're a player, I'm a coach. You play, I coach. But, I mean, I don't mind you coming to my office one-on-one and me and saying, hey, coach, I feel like we should do this, right? I had a quarterback, Dante Melton, for the last 3 years. If he came up to me and said, coach, I want to run this play, we're running that play, right? But he earned that over 3 years, right? So, especially with the whole, you know, talking back to a coach or voicing your passion or frustration, that's kind of, you know, what did you do to earn the right to make a statement like that, right? To give your opinion. Have you been here every day putting in the work? Because if you have, then kind of I'll listen. But if you one of them dudes are half in, half out, and you try to say, coach, we got to do this, man, get back in line.
You know, we got to do this. But I'm talking about even like, coach, I think I should get more playing time type situation. How do you feel like those type of players? Like, oh, coach, I've been coming. I do breakthrough. I do 7-on-7s. I'm working on my hardest, and I don't even see the field at all.
I mean, I think you're always going to deal with that, right? And when soccer, unfortunately, parent involvement isn't something I deal with too often. I wish. I mean,
do you wish?
Hold up. But I don't know, man. I always try to say, like, this is the most important thing in my life, bro. Like, I'm never going to do anything to jeopardize my team from winning. So the best players are going to play. If you feel that your child isn't getting enough playing time, come to practice. I mean, I'll have the meeting with you. I'll tell you exactly what I feel is wrong. And my three things is, one, you got to be able to protect yourself. You got to protect the man on the side of you, and you got to understand what you're doing so you don't get nobody else hurt, right? So if you can't do those three things, you ain't going to play. And if you can't do those three things, it's probably because you just mess around in practice, right? You probably the kid over there fucking around in the back of the line or some shit. So if your kid ain't playing and you feel it's some type of way, man, come to practice. I'll watch the film with you, right? Or, I mean, we film every single practice, so I'll watch the practice film with you. I'll show you exactly what your kid is doing. If we're doing a hitting drill or a tackling drill or whatever, like a leverage drill, whatever it could be, and your kid, we in there for 15 minutes and your kid just took one rep, that's why. He ain't proving to nobody that he want to play.
He's doing it just because you're making him be there.
Yeah, and like I said, situation. I'm old school coach. I want 11 savages, man. Like, I want 11 kids who are going to hit somebody right in the mouth. If you ain't one of the 11, then it's going to be a hard way to get on the field.
Have you seen, like, when you're evaluating practice film, are you like, has someone ever stood out to you that you weren't giving credit to, and you're like, this guy's kind of putting in the work in practice?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not even notice.
I'll circle it right there on the film. Like, oh, look at this hustle. Backside corner making a play on a sweep to the left. Oh, he's circling that. We're making it known that he's hustling. It's big because, like I said, our JV kid, usually when we doing our practice film, it's our varsity offense against our JV defense, right? So it's just important for them JV kids to get that positive reinforcement, to understand that they're doing the right things because they're going to translate on the JV field and they're going to do it for you next year. So I think it's very, very, very important to show those practice players that stand out.
Have you moved up a JV kid to varsity just based on practice?
Oh, God, yeah. So it'll obviously start on special teams, but you go out there and make a play on special teams, you're going to find your way on defense. You know what I mean? And I always try to tell my kids, if you want to get on the field, you do it by defense, because on offense, you need to understand the plays. You need to have certain people do their job in order for you to do your job. In defense, I just go ahead and ball.
Right? Not for sure.
It's just read and react. Let me just go ahead and ball. I don't need nobody else.
I know.
See ball, find ball, right?
No, for sure, man. And I know Hendy has a freshman, just play a freshman rule. at Woonsocket, could freshmen play varsity?
Yeah, I'll play you. Whoever, if you one of the top 15, you playing varsity. I don't care what age you are. We've had that rule for a while. Even last year, end of the year, we had this kid Ariel Medina show up. Move up. Made one of the biggest tackles on Thanksgiving, help us win the game. He's a freshman. We've done it every year. Last year, we played Francis West in the playoffs. We had a kid, Joe Greenless, who was a freshman at the time, make a huge pick to keep us in the game. So, if you're ready, you're ready. We don't discriminate against whatever age you are. If you're ready, you're ready. Obviously, we understand that there's some patience. So, a lot of times, these guys come up at the end of the year rather than the beginning of the year. But we've had kids. We had a kid, Logan Coles. He's actually throwing hammer at Kentucky right now. He started as a freshman. Varsity.
And again, this 100, like, five episodes in, I'm a Hendrickson supporter. It's not bashing Hendrickson. It's just literally just the rules. They just don't play freshmen. So,
yeah, and I think
not hating on Hendrickson.
I think that's kind of crazy because we had this kid, Elijah Garten, from Woonsocket go to Hendrickson. Kid 6'3". You know what I mean? Even if
he can't teach size.
Even if you don't think that he the most polished route runner, you don't think that he the greatest hands, you throw him out wide because you got to cover him. You see a 6'3 target out there, and he ain't skinny 6'3". He got a good size. So, I just think that's a threat. You got to go cover him, especially with Hendy's run game. You got to go out there and cover him.
Yeah, yeah, man, for sure.
But even at LaSalle, you know, we have a couple guys from Woonsocket over there that I think are good enough to play at that level and don't. So, but again, more reason to stay home. So,
you know, for sure. Hey, you know who you are. Who you talking about? So no celebrating in Woonsocket. No throwing, no at all. You're not dealing with that crap at all. You're getting benched. And not even if you're Travis Kelce.
My kids are going to watch this and they're like, oh, coach with his knee pad shit. Coach with his shoulder pads tucked in.
Like, what do you mean? So you can't show your pads, stuff like that.
These kids got their knee pads rolled up all the way to their
showing
thigh.
Their back plate.
I don't really, the back plate don't bother me. But, I mean, obviously you got to untuck it before the game.
Right? Yeah.
But the knee pad thing is like, the ref come up to you 20 minutes before the game. He's like, everybody illegally equipped, knee pads, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm out here and I say, yeah. Because I've already told you in stretch line, pull them shits down. So then I told the ref, all right, they good. We come out here, we do a national anthem. I'm looking around, and the kids will roll their shit back up. So now I just lied to the ref. Right? So now you think I'm going to get a 50-50 call after I just lied to this man's face?
No.
And there's always a whole child, you got a problem with the refs. No, you guys created the problem with the refs. Because you guys don't want to listen. But at the end of the day, man, like I said, I don't care about your Instagram pictures. I don't care about any of that, man. I care about winning. I'll coach you from Monday to Friday and Sunday, but Saturday we in the lines, we hit a battle, man. It's competition. Like at the end of the day, like I said, I love what I do as far as coaching. I love changing lives, but I'm a competitor, man. I'm trying to win. So
yeah, sometimes you are dealing with, you know, I'm not sure if you watch NBA or not, but you know, League Fits has taken over like Instagram. Are you familiar with League Fits?
Yeah, I mean, like I don't know
League Fits is just it's an Instagram page where athletes show their pregame.
Oh, like all the suits and shit.
The suits and shit. Shoes, so their swag.
Yeah.
So that's taking over. You know, people want that Instagram photo. So, like, that's all. A lot of these kids are caring about their Instagram photo.
I mean, I don't really understand it either because this shit Russell Westbrook be walking in the stadium wearing. Oh, bro, you don't even look like an athlete. I mean, he's one of the greatest athletes of all time, right? But.
Hey, I'm not a Westbrook fan of his dress. I like a LeBron type of dude. JT is a nice, nice.
Like, be an athlete, bro. Wear a Nike Tech. Like, wear something that has your team logo on it or something. Just be an athlete. You want to wear a suit? That's cool. That's professional.
You're not messing with, like, outfits. The graphic tees. You know,
I mean,
the
graphic tees ain't bad, but, like, some of these people go way, way overboard.
You know, like Jordan Poole, stuff like that, or, like,
yeah, didn't
Kuzma.
They wear the big yellow boots or whatever? Who wore the big red boots. Yeah, come on, man.
You're not a fan of the Cam Newton.
You're gonna
big
tell
hats?
Me that's not wasted energy carrying them big old loafers into the stadium.
Dude, he's definitely energy, he's like wearing like a boot. He's wearing like a leg boot. Like,
so
literally.
You ever seen that that little interview with Christian McCaffrey where his dad wouldn't even let him wear jeans on game day and stuff?
No.
Yeah, so he wouldn't even let him wear jeans on game day just because like it's too heavy on your legs.
He's just Nike Tech pretty much all time.
Slides and shorts on game day just because you don't want to waste that energy walking to class, walking through school.
You know what I said the other day on a couple of my, Angel, a couple of my friends who played sports, and I'm like, real athletes, elite ones, show up to games and practice in slides.
Yeah.
Literally, if you came with anything else, it cannot be trusted.
Yeah, so I always go to, there's two things. You either wait for practice to start or you prepare for practice to start, right? So I feel you wear slides and shorts, you're prepared. You're preparing for practice to start. I'm thinking about the bigger picture here. And like I said, like even on the game day thing, you're wasted energy. If it ain't helping us win this game, I don't care. That's why I don't care about your knee pads or your shoulder pads or whatever.
You don't care about the matching. Nike bands.
Yeah, so our socks got to match. If we wearing white socks, I don't care you wear high, low, mid socks, whatever, you're going to match. And I always revert back to the same thing. This is war. If you out here and you're wearing pink socks and everybody else is wearing white socks, you must be a lieutenant. You must be a general. You're important. I'm picking you all first.
Yeah.
Right? That's how I always think about it. So if you want to stand out, I'm not with it.
Nah, how would you do allow visors?
Yeah, so obviously in Rhode Island, you can do only clear. I believe you can do smoked if you have a doctor's note for it. Yeah, you can wear visors. I don't mind. I let them wear it in practice. Like, you want to wear a visor in practice? I used to have my basic EMT license, so I feel I'm pretty good as far as with the concussion stuff. So, yeah, if you want to wear the dark visors or tinted visors in practice, go for it. And like I said, just obviously it's against the rules in the games.
Yeah, it's just... Because when it rains, it'll be fogging up like crazy. Do you make them take it off when it rains?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I they take it off. I don't even really got to tell them. They kind of understand. Like, we have... I mean, I play wide receiver, so we kind of already know, like, this is what we do in dry weather. This is what we do in wet weather. You know what I mean? So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Do you have any other rules, like on Woonsocket, where you come in here, you kind of know this is the deal here on Woonsocket, composed of different places? So, no, we're all wearing the same socks. Anything else like that?
Nah, man, I mean... I try to get them to wear maroon, white, black, silver cleats, or something like that, gray. But, you know, this generation want to wear...
If you're red, they want to wear lime green cleats. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't bite too much on that. I just worry about the sock thing because, like I said, I try to make them think it's war because, like, that's the essence of football, right? So...
Yeah, no, for sure. And you said, you're building team chemistry. You told me right before because I was telling you last week I filmed the Hot Ones episode... And my stomach is still in shambles. I swear to God, not even making that shit up. It hurts. So you're telling me you do like yearly type of situations, like team bonding scenarios. What's some like your favorite team bonding experiences you've had in Woonsocket to build that family culture over there?
So every year we do the eating competition for seniors. And then we let like one junior in, like just get involved just so they can set the standard going forward. But so this year we did hot wings. Last year we did wieners and that shit was disgusting. We're never doing that one again. But we've done pie. You can't use your hands. You gotta just go and kind of smash your face into the pie and just kind of eat it. But just kind of stuff to have some fun with them. Especially as seniors, you only get them for one more year after we've had them for four. And like I said, for football, like when soccer, we do the study hall, we do the weight room, you know, and then we do, you know, off season training at the field and stuff like that. So we're with these guys year round. So it's a big part for them. So, like, obviously, they like to have fun. They want to have those little moments and stuff. But we used to do car washes every year. That was always fun. Sometimes it got a little out of hand. These kids would just got to act up a little bit. But they're kids, you know, they're just trying to have some fun. But honestly, the times off the field are probably some of my best memories with them. I've been out to eat with hundreds of these kids. But recently, I was able to go to like, two of my former players' weddings. Those are great moments. I've seen countless of my kids graduate college. So it's been fun.
How are you like teetering the line between like friendship and coach?
Little brothers. Yeah, I mean, those are my little brothers. There's no friendship or nothing like that. They just know I'm there because I'm just as hard as them. I'm hard on them as, like a family member would be like a parent. You know what I mean? I don't let them ever break that kind of code. Like they know what's right and what's wrong. So I try to just give them advice, kick knowledge to them like an older brother.
Yeah, no, for sure. But, you know, I was basically like my little brother's like dad, but I was his coach essentially as well when he went to Hendy. Obviously backed off a little bit. But sometimes that can be some intense fights there.
You know? Oh, God, yeah. It's going to be some intense arguments. Like, some of these kids, like even like my quarterback Dante for the last 3 years, man, like if you know anything about our relationship, man, I was hard on that kid. I was really hard on him. And there's some times where like, I went home and I was like, I was too hard on him today. But, I mean, our bond is closer than it's ever been. I've had countless kids that are like that. Even some of our best players I've been like that with. You know, this could be every kid, Emmanuel Gomes. He's playing at URI. He scored 32 touchdowns his senior year, and I believe every single one of them, I shook his hand, told me it wasn't even that good. So,
we need to know how to motivate certain players.
You got to check them, man. Like, everybody on the sideline going to tell you what you want to hear. Somebody got to tell you what you don't want to hear, right? I've created that bond. I'm very hard on my kids. And like I said, even life after football, we very hard on them. So it's never really been trying to test that boundary. Like I said, they've always kind of looked at me as like older brothers, but it's definitely been some intense fights for damn sure. But like I said, I don't need you to understand it now. They understand it later.
You know, some of the most intense fights too, I can speak to this for our 08 Saints team, are the Super Bowl years, because you are like so good. The standard is so much higher now. Mm-hmm. You're fighting over like, didn't we just win like 40-0? Why are we fighting right now? How were the Super Bowl years?
So the best part about that first Super Bowl year was I was able to do it with two of the kids that I was the most hardest on in my whole life. So we had a guy, Derek Lavassier, and this kid, Neftali Ortiz. I rode them every single day of their high school careers. They were my freshman coaches when we won that first Super Bowl. So to do it with them on the sideline was awesome. And then the second year Super Bowl we won, I did that with Kevon Davis, Manny Sabalos, and Milan Washington on the sideline with me. And those are three of my former players. So doing it with former players just means so much more, man. One day I want to just be a head coach and all my assistants be former players. That'd be a dream come true. But yeah, that those are my favorite parts, just trying to keep it going. This year I just took in three more former players on staff. So just trying to keep that brotherhood and that family environment going.
So when you had those Super Bowl years, I'm not sure what years they were. Were those the first like, Super Bowls from Wasaka in a while?
Yeah. So we went there's been seven championships in Woonsocket. It was like 1946, 1963, 2004, which was my freshman year. I ended up not moving up, so I didn't even get the damn ring.
Damn.
Yeah, right out the window. I could add three. And then they went back-to-back in 2009 and 2010. Then we went back-to-back in 2018,
2019. So it's not too crazy.
Yeah, not too crazy. But to win two out of the seven in the history of Woonsocket is pretty dope.
You know? Yeah, man. So like when you had the Super Bowl years, did you know going into it, oh, we had a special team? Or was it like it kind of evolved in the season?
So the first Super Bowl year, we were 3-8 the year before. And then we went 11-1 and won a Super Bowl. So that would kind of just jump, right? We knew we had the talent. We knew we always had the talent. But it was just kind of teaching them how to win, how to be winners and move like winners and live like winners. And we were able to do that in the weight room. They translated it right on the football field. Those guys played with each other from flag all the way to, you know, senior year, and they never won. And then we had like a tragedy happen that year, at the beginning of the year, that kind of just even gave us more motivation to move that way. And then we were forced to be reckoned with after that. And then the second Super Bowl year, man, we started off 0-4.
That's crazy. It was a midseason.
Yes, but we had the talent. It was just kind of mindsets, overlooking things, not working hard enough. And then we won 8 straight, won Super Bowl, and on that 8 straight, like we kind of just demolished people. So, but yeah, you definitely know when you have one of those teams. Obviously, those teams don't come around every single year. And then the ante definitely ups, right? That window is very, 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 very small. So the ante definitely ups. And you definitely got to move differently. Just not to waste the opportunity, right? Because those opportunities don't come around very often.
Definitely not, man. And, you know, this could be a little challenge for your team. I generally have no idea. So coming into this season, what are your thoughts coming into your, you know, this 24 season for Woonsocket High School?
I think we're going to be all right, man. I think we ended off the year on a great note on Thanksgiving, winning that game. Getting back to Woonsocket type of football. The ground and pound style. We got some great young players coming back or that have taken over for these seniors. We had some great seniors, man, that were started since COVID. So they kind of led this program, a Facebook program for the last 3 years. So now it's kind of just flipping. I think I got a great young quarterback, great young running back, some great young linemen. I got a really good returning receiver. I'm not going to give too much out the bag. But yeah, I think we're going to be all right. I think in Woonsocket, we're always going to be all right. We got a good group of tough kids. And like I said, most people don't want to play that type of football, bro. Most people don't want to get hit. So if you play that way, you're going to be all right.
Yeah, man. You said in the trenches and, you know, that winter football, it comes in, it's different.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a team that's, my finger, my wrist. Then you ain't gonna do well in the playoffs in Rhode Island.
Yeah, man, definitely not. And you're talking about you're being like your players are like your little brothers and stuff like that. Yeah. So who were some like your mentors or inspirations when you were growing up? Like what do you think like led you into this spot growing into this situation?
Obviously, you know, my parents ran the youth organization for years. So
I had no idea.
So my parents ran the youth organization for years, so I kinda watched them kind of mentor kids my whole life. My second uncle was Bobby Calcibetta, who coached at Woonsocket for a long time. My mom actually babysit Carnell Henderson, who was the coach for a while. So I don't know, man. Like, I was on that field since I was like 2 years old.
Damn, bro. So coaching was in your blood.
In my blood.
It's like Joe Mazzulla.
I didn't really know it at the time, but like even like when I was in high school and stuff, I'd be back on the iPod videos. Remember those days?
Dude, I still got them.
I'd just be watching like motivational speeches. I didn't really listen to music on the way to games. I kind of look back at those kind of moments, and I'm just like, I understand I would have been a good coach then. But, you know, I try to prove to myself every single day still that, you know, I want to be great at this. And it's an everyday thing. I don't care about the early success. So,
nice, man. So who were some of your who were you watching in that iPod Classic? Some Ray Lewis in there?
Yeah, Ray Lewis was definitely one of them. Ed Reed was a good one. C.T. Fletcher was a big one back then for me.
I'm a big David Goggins guy now. Yeah, you like Goggins?
Yeah.
Makes me feel like a
I don't
bitch.
Know where he's running to, but he's just running.
It makes me feel like a but, bitch. I'm yeah, like, God,
so
damn.
I Tim Grover was a big one too for me. He's Kobe and Jordan's trainer.
Oh, nice.
So I was a big Kobe guy. I'm a big Kobe guy. So
are you a big like a book reader or like audiobook guy or you have any recommendations? What do you listen to or read?
So right now I'm actually reading UOU from Eric Thomas.
I just downloaded his stuff.
Yeah. He's good. So I'm reading that. It's actually, I believe it's written by Chris Paul or spoken by Chris Paul. It's one of those. But yeah, it's just kind of seeing your self-worth, right? I don't know if I ever want, I don't, like you had said, those guys who coach 60 years in one spot. I don't know if I want to be that guy. I kind of do want to be that guy. Yeah. So I'm kind of in the mix of which one I really want to be. But I love what I do. I love where I do it. Right. I love doing it for one soccer for the city and just showing them that, you know, we just as good out here. Right. You don't got to leave if you want to go to college and that's your dream. You don't got to leave. You can do it right here. Right. But it is what you make of it. I understand that one soccer is one soccer. But I mean, if you want to be great, there's going to be all sorts of adversity you got to handle. Right.
Yeah.
So you might as well start right here.
You know, for saying that, saying like in the city. That's a quick question before my next question.
Yeah.
Audiobook guy or actual book guy?
I vary. It kind of just depends on the time of year. Football season, I ain't got that much time, man. It's more audiobooks in a car. Heading to the gym, heading home from the gym, on the treadmill, all that kind of stuff.
I feel you. I'm not a book guy at all.
And then off season, I kind of got a little bit of downtime. So right now, I'm doing the personal training thing. So I'm a little busier than normal. But I try to get every now and then get a book in, get some pages in. So I try to do a page a day. Right, 75 hard. I try to do 75 hard every single day, man.
My friend was just telling me about that. What's 75 hard again? So 75 days sober, 75 days.
75 days. It's sober. It's 8 hours of sleep. It's a book a day. No drinking. 2 workouts a day, I believe. And it was one more. No sugar. No soda. Maybe no soda. No coffee. I think that's the other one.
Makes sense.
But. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I live every single day, bro. You see me walking in here, I got water.
I see you pretty much every day, too. I see you at,
you see me at the gym
every single day. Same time every day. Yeah. Discipline. Do you teach your players that? Same thing, like more like on a schedule? Is that big for you, routine?
Yeah, I lead by example, man. I don't ever ask them to do something that I'm not, one, not willing to do, or not one I never did. Right? So I try to be great every single day, bro. I don't care if I'm making my bed. I'm going to make the shit out of that bed. So I try to teach them to do the same thing, right? You take school, the weight room, football, the same exact way. You take being a son the same way you take away being, you know, all division wide receiver. If you do everything the same way, you're going to be all right in life, right?
Yeah, no, man, for sure. The question, the follow-up to that was when you were speaking. So, you know, you see SD, he, you know, shouts SD at South Hill Academy, starting with Westerly, or Coventry. Well, Coventry, then Westerly?
Yeah. Coventry,
the
Westfield.
Now Suffield. Do you like want to follow like the footsteps of that? Or like you said, you're kind of in between right now. So would you take those like college opportunities, those prep opportunities? Or are you trying to stay just in the city type situation?
So if I want to stay at high school, I want to stay in the inner city. I feel like those kids need people like me. I need kids like that, man, to do what I do. Right. But I don't know. College, man, I feel like those kids are already handpicked. Like they're already on the right path. I like changing lives, right? Seeing kids, making kids see their potential and seeing the bigger picture. So I want to stay at the high school level. Maybe, like you said, bounce down to Florida where they play that shit for real, right? Year round.
Florida would be intriguing.
Yeah, I mean,
too.
I run a year round program right now. They make way more money than I do down there.
It's crazy. And nice weather, too.
Yeah, right. And nice weather, right? But I don't know, man. I love what I do for my kids at Woonsocket right now. So I'm happy where I'm at.
And, man, your kids in Woonsocket. So. I'm sure it's a whole list, but anybody you want to give like special shout outs to, your favorite, some of your, you know, favorite moments, or, you know, players you want to give recognition to that you've coached over the couple of past years?
Man, if I pick out one, then the other 200 are going to come at me.
I know. I was trying to set you up.
just shout out the Super Bowl team. Shout out for everybody that I've ever coached from 2004. And it all kind of started with, like, 2011, I started coaching that varsity team. And then I moved up to varsity in 2014. So it was that team's same year. And that's where I found, like, my pedigree of coaching, bro. I coached so hard and did so many things because I didn't want to let those kids down. Because I knew them from 8th grade all the way to senior year, right? I watched them grow up. I didn't want to let them down, man.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, we had a coaching change that year. The athletic director who actually gave me the chance to coach actually passed away. Rest in peace, Mr. Nasuti. So, like, the kids really felt abandoned, bro, and I didn't want to let them down. So I coached my ass off, and we didn't really win. I think we won 2-3 games that year. But it was just those kids respected the fact that, like, I didn't bail. I worked my ass off. And I think that just kind of led me the path I'm on. One big thing I tell these kids, bro, ain't nobody ever going to outwork me. So if I don't let any coaches work, outwork me. You better not let anybody play, any players work, outwork you. Unless I lead by example. But, yeah, shout out to all the kids I've ever coached. Shout out to, let's say, Eddie Willett got me into coaching. Shout out to Brett Cordier for having my back and always being by my side. Shout out Pass for taking a chance on me. Yeah, and then shout out to the next generation who's going to be coming up. You know, like I said, I got a really good quarterback, Pac Munja. I got a really good running back coming up, Ariel Medina. I think we really good receiver and Aiden Carrier. I think we're going to be all right this year.
So you're saying these kids, are you like, apparently your parents were in the, you know, the
organization.
Yeah. So are you familiar with these young kids now growing up?
Yeah, so I work in a middle school.
Nice.
Yeah, so I try to start the process in 6th grade. But, you know, we got 2 coaches that teach at elementary schools in Woonsocket. I'm at 1 middle school. I have another coach at the other middle school. I have 2 coaches at the high school. So we can be very, very, very around the city. I try to get involved with the youth program as much as I can. We run, you know, a youth camp for them every year where our juniors and seniors who actually played in that league coach the younger kids. We're very involved with especially the 8th grade team. They kind of start where they run our plays and stuff. So we have that, you know, that learning curve is kind of out of the way at freshman year. They already know what they're doing. But yeah, shout out to all those youth coaches too, man, because they kind of paved the way for us. So shout out Jeremy. He's doing a great job with the Warriors, man. They're competitive every single year.
Are you guys like intertwined with them? So like I've heard that like NK, their like youth organization and their high school like, run like the same plays. So like, yeah, they know what already going into it. They don't have to learn a new system. Are you guys all intertwined? Like you're kind of doing like a base system in soccer.
Yeah, we're trying to get to the NK level. Shout out to Georgie too at NK, man. That's one of the best programs in the state. That's probably the best public school program in the state. So that's
exactly pretty crazy.
Who we're trying to be, right? So before COVID, I felt like we went back to back. We were neck and neck with them because I feel like COVID year we was going to win that one too. So, but yeah, that's who we're trying to be. We're trying to be NK. We're trying to follow their footsteps. So that's exactly what we're trying to get to. And like right now, like I said, 8th grade runs our plays. I believe the 7th grade runs started running our formations. So it's you know, to that level. I don't want to start too soon because obviously, like I said, in the city, Woonsocket, these kids move back and forth. So I'm not trying to open up the book.
Yeah, they're spying. They're pulling up Patriots.
At the end of the day, man, the biggest thing to me, man, like I said, I'm a winner. So
all competitive at all times.
I achieved it competitive. Like I said, I wasn't as good as the player as I wanted to be, so I'm going to be as good as the coach as I want to be. So,
yeah, man, for sure. Is there any, like you said, helping these kids out and stuff like that. Is there any, like, obviously, Prop City Classic is next weekend. Is there any other, like, 7-on-7s or any, like, camps or events you guys are running that you want to plug, you want to shout out now? It's a little early in the year, yeah, but I'm not sure if you know, like, the time frames and stuff like that.
Yeah, so June 1st at Crystal Lake Country Club, we got our golf tournament. The $135 buy-in, $540 or $400, I believe it adds up to. If you golf, we'd love to support. It's a fun time, you know. Got barbecue dinner afterwards, but you can drink as much as you want out there on the golf course. You got 5 hours to sober up. But we have that. We run a We Not Me camp every year where, like I said, our seniors coach kids. I recommend people get involved in that. We charge $20. Like, I think it's $20 for the day. All we're really trying to do is pay for insurance. We get food donated, so we give kids burgers and hot dogs and waters on the way out. And then, I mean, obviously, Prof City Classic, I encourage everybody to sign up through Breakthrough Summer League because that's great work for everybody. And then we do our own little passing league with Barreville every year. Shout out to Barreville coaches because those are some great guys out there. But Yeah, just, I mean, we try to stay active all year round. I mean, obviously, we're going to be taking Got Kids to junior days coming up. I know Bryant's got theirs coming up. You or I got theirs coming up. So we'll be taking those kids up there. And then, obviously, we got the camps coming up in June that our kids will be, our juniors will be going to. I think I got a kid going out. I think I'm going to take a kid out to Notre Dame this year. We have really, we have a really good lineman. And he had said, like, his sophomore year, his dream was to go to Notre Dame. I've always wanted to see Notre Dame, so.
That's pretty cool, man. Yeah, and, like, so Onye opened the door up and stuff like
So I think we're going to take the ride out there. I told him he's got to make high honors. So he makes that. We're going to take the ride out to Notre Dame. But even this year, last year we did BC 7-on-7. I think we're going to try to branch out a little bit more. Maybe do Syracuse or Penn State or something like that. I know Blake did Penn State last year.
That's far.
Maybe we'll, maybe not carpool with him, but we'll follow him.
Is there any, like, any words you want to give to your kids or anybody, breakthrough kids watching this, Wasaki kids watching this, like any like words of wisdom, you know, coming up, anything they should be doing off season or in the end of season?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, especially with the draft time coming up for the NFL draft, like, I encourage these guys to listen to these stories about these guys. To be different, you got to do different. And a lot of these guys are going to get drafted in 2 weeks or so. They did different shit, man. They woke up at 5 a.m. and did shit. They woke up at 6 a.m. and did shit. They didn't go to bed at 10 o'clock on their video games or whatever. You know what I mean? They put the work in to be different. And if you want to be different, you got to do different shit, man. Ain't nobody get to that stage just going through the motions. They work extra, extra hard, man. And it starts in the classroom. Right? You can be as good as you want to be, but if you don't got the grades, man, you're just wasting your time. You're wasting everybody's time.
And you ain't special, man. They're not going to give you the benefit of the doubt just because you're Charlie.
Exactly. And I feel like that's a big assumption on the 7-on-7 thing, is that these kids think they're going to get recruited just doing on 7-on-7 because you're balling out. But at the end of the day, man, they're going to ask you for your transcripts. They're going to talk to your high school coach. And like I say, if you're just doing 7-on-7, you ain't even playing high school, they're going to say, why aren't you playing with pads on, right? And then that coach is going to have a lot to say. So understand that your coaches kind of control some of the shit that goes on with your future. So
hey, Charlie, but be cool, man. You're not going to have my back.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is like, that's my word.
Do you get that?
Yeah, of course.
And Charlie, man, we're cool. You're not going to have my back.
But that's my word, and there's kids after you that need that validation. So if I fuck up and I just out here and vouch for you, and then you go over here and be a fucktard, then now the three guys behind you that were waiting for that opportunity just got washed because you wanted to be a dumbass.
Yeah, man.
So if you don't go about it, my word is my bond. So I've got a great relationship with a lot of coaches out here in college because we've opened the door and did the right thing, right? So I'm not going to just do all that years of work for nothing just for you to kind of just fuck it up for the next group. So we take that very serious, man.
Like, I know you say you're
trying to get
these
kids out of Woonsocket. So
we trying to get kids out of Woonsocket. You say you're taking it serious. So, like, do you have, like, those real talks with these players? Like, hey, coach, you know, I want to be in the NFL. Are you like, hey, that could happen, or you're like, come on, man, be realistic type of situation.
I'll never shoot down their dreams, man. I got a kid right now in the weight room who's going to play guard. He want to play fullback. I say, hey, you work hard enough, you play fullback. He playing guard, but
we never know, I guess. You just never know.
Like I said, you never know. Just keep working hard. Let us make the coaching decisions. But for sure, we make that thing that our goal is for a college degree, man. And it may not even be a college degree for some people. It might be you go to trade school. You know what I mean? So we understand that college ain't for everybody. We just want to raise good quality young men, man. I want to raise good fathers, good men, and, you know, make the world a better place, bro. Like, and they understand that. I got a kid that's at URI right now that'll probably get a pro day. It'll probably be one of the first ones on Socket. But hopefully that opens the door for some other guys. But at the end of the day, man, I just want these guys to go get, you know, a degree, whether it's a trade school degree, whether it's a college degree, and then just be successful young men.
Yeah, man, like you said, man, if you want to do different stuff, man, you got to be different.
You got to be different, bro.
For sure, man.
That one that's going to get a pro day did a lot of different shit to be in that position he's in. So
that's what's up, man. My brother went to school. He's a freshman when Quiddy was a senior, bro. And I seen Quiddy do special shit all the time.
Bro,
like
Quiddy, I coached against Quiddy. I was at DC. That man had 2 carries for like 160 yards, 2 touchdowns. And I don't think anybody was even 20 yards when close to him when he scored. Like, you could tell that was an NFL player, right? You've seen him play.
Oh, 100%.
Like, best player I've ever seen in high school football field, by far. But I'll tell you what, that kid Emmanuel Gomes is the second one I've ever seen, so.
Hey, man, maybe we can get him on sometime. We can do a trio together. Yeah, love to. Have him on, that'd be fire.
And like I said, I even hit you up to bring a guy on. I don't like doing this because I don't like ever making things about me. I don't even like saying the word I. You know what I mean? Like, this, I'm only as good as my assistant coaches and my players, man. And I got great players and I got great coaches. So it makes me look real good.
Yeah, man, like you said, like, I love giving people opportunity. I shout out my guy, Flanny, came on the podcast, and now he's the voice of the Friars. He's doing the new soccer league. And just, like, you never know what's going to come about just doing a regular podcast, man. Giving these kids opportunities, everybody opportunities, man. Yeah. You never know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, and like I said, I originally wanted to give the kid the opportunity because he hadn't committed to college. And then, like, right that week, he ended up committing to UMass Dartmouth.
Fire.
Shout out to him. Shout out to UMass Dartmouth. Shout out to Ryan for putting in all the work he does.
Former alum.
Great school. And I got an assistant coach that lives like 20 minutes away, so we got eyes on him. It's always great.
MS fire, man. UMass Dartmouth should be good. Angel, Dante this year, and this should be have a good crew.
I love Dante. Yo, he's a phenomenal football player. He actually played at Cumberland, so he had a little bit of beef.
But he's a trash talker too.
Oh God, yes he is, bro. He talked trash to me when he was playing. And unfair. I can't say shit back, right? But yeah, he's definitely one of the players from Cumberland that I have the most utmost respect for. Phenomenal hard work, and I'm so proud that my Dante gets to learn from that Dante. Like, that's the perfect person I could ever want him to learn from. So,
and man, that's fire. And like, you never know, man. With D3 nowadays, look at that kid that blew up, that Bridgewater State quarterback. Yeah, you see that?
He's in the draft, right? Will you
enter the combine? Yeah. Just like a random ass video. It's like, you never know. If you're D3, man, you can get. They're gonna find you. If you're good enough.
A couple years ago, Cumberland had a kid that went to Framingham State.
Bro, he's in the Seahawks.
Yeah, I believe he went to the Saints. I believe he's a state trooper now, but I believe he played for the Saints practice squad for a little while. Mm. But like I said, man, you put the work and they're going to find you.
Yeah, I'm talking about some other kid. My boy Bo, shout out Bo. He played there. So he's like our age. His boy played DN for Framingham.
Yeah.
He still plays for Seahawks.
Oh, shit. Some other dude. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying is if you're good enough, they're going to find you. It don't matter, especially these days. And again, back to the draft, bro, you're going to see teams get drafted that you never even heard of before.
Yeah, right? Man.
And back in my day, when I was in school, when you was in school, you would only see the Texas, the Alabama, the LSU, the Michigan, right? Only the big schools. But now they digging deep, right?
Yeah, man.
So some of the best players in the NFL came from these small schools, man.
Yeah, man. And you never, like you said, you never know, especially nowadays with UFL. You could be D3, go UFL, work your ass off, and then go to NFL afterwards.
Shout out my man Cooper Kupp, bro. Eastern Washington. Like, you don't see that very often, red turf. But if you're good enough, they're going to find you. And that man, one of the best receivers in the league.
Yeah, man. Like you said, man, we name a bunch of players. Oh, Josh Allen, of course. One fucking offer.
Right? It goes on the list. I mean, shit, Aaron Donald just retired the other day. I think he was, what, 3-star out of high school?
I know you must have been heartbroken for that.
Oh, and then they signed Jimmy Garoppolo the same damn day. I hate Jimmy Garoppolo, bro. And we don't got, like, Jimmy Garoppolo made a career off of having, like, the number one defense every single year of his career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, put me in, bro, if I only got to score 7 points a game, bro. I'll figure it out. If I got Christian McCaffrey, bro, I'll figure out how to score 7. But
pitch.
Absolutely devastating. I like where the Rams are at right now, but obviously losing AD is huge. But I mean, it was such a pleasure to watch him for so long. Like, you see that picture, that those graphics where it's just like
three people.
How good was AD? And it's just wild. 4 people blocking a guy, you've never seen that shit. But the Rams didn't really get him some help on the front. So, and I think if the Rams would have signed an edge rusher, maybe he comes back.
Yeah,
but we missed out on Burns. We missed out on Hunter, Khalil Mack, and Bosa. So.
Yeah, you said you feel good. You guys, I mean, NFC is a little bit weaker compared to AFC.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, there's only one quarterback in the NFC that ever won a championship. It's Matt Stafford, so I feel good. Right?
How much longer do you think you got?
I'm hoping, man. I'm a Michigan guy. I'd love to see the Rams draft JJ, just so we have somebody in the future to learn from. Because I think that you give somebody like JJ a year behind a Stafford and a McVay. But, I mean, Stafford looked good last year, man. I think
he did look good.
I think he got 2 years. We got a really good old line, so hopefully they protect him and he can play. But
you talking about how you love Warriors. You gotta love Stafford then. That, bro, dude, fucking
tough as nails, bro. Tough as nails. And like I said, that's a perfect somebody you want to learn from. Like, you can learn your X's and O's from Sean McVay because he's great at that, but you can learn how to be a professional and a tough bastard from watching Matt Stafford. But some of those mic'd up clips from Detroit,
nuts.
Special, bro. Special.
Nuts. He's insane.
Yeah, but that's trying to be great. That's trying to, like I know there's a documentary coming out with him next month, and he said he wants a gold jacket more than anything, and he knows what you got to do for it. Those are the things you got to do for it, man.
You think he's getting it?
I think so, bro. I think stat-wise, I mean, he's put up some monster numbers in Detroit. Coming to L.A. and I fucked up and said that, St. Louis.
we won't get fined.
I think coming to L.A. and winning in your first year is huge. And I just think that he's got the validation from a lot of other players. Like, every year when they do, like, the top 100, like, a lot of people have respect for Matt Stafford. even when they do like top 10 quarterbacks, you know, people always put him in there, and then like you see your analysts and your professionals who don't. I don't know. I'm gonna take the validation from my peers rather than
of course
some. Like I don't know, bro. Like I'd rather hear that I'm a good coach from Stan or Mike than from fucking Providence Journal, bro.
Oh, don't get me started with that.
yeah, but like but, that's who I want to hear
from. Oh,
I
for
hear
sure, peers, bro.
Right? I don't want to hear it from somebody just sitting and behind a desk that doesn't have ties to this shit.
Yeah, bro. And people like shit on like Tua. Blah 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 blah. He can't throw the ball. Do you watch the game,
bro? But
he leads the fucking lead, number one in like every passing category.
But the guy saying it, can he throw a football?
No,
that's so. What the
it's so fucking stupid, bro. It's so idiotic. Like I used to get mad at that type of shit. And I'm like, who are you? Do you know what you're talking about? No, then like, shut the fuck up, yeah. Dude. It doesn't even make sense. Shut the hell up. That's like, why all his other colleagues say he's good.
Yeah, like personally, like I like Tony Romo as an announcer. Just because you don't know what he's talking about, that's your problem. I know what he's talking about, so I don't mind.
100%, bro. Right? It's even like what Greg Olsen is like, oh, he's so good. Like, I don't know what he's talking about sometimes. Well, you don't know what he's talking about.
That's yeah, your exactly. That's your problem.
Yep.
And like I love the Eli and Peyton dude, podcast.
I love it.
Not podcast.
So the telecast.
Yeah. But again, I know what they're talking about, bro. This is what I want to hear.
And if people don't like Romo, then you're not going to like Brady, because that motherfucker is beyond.
Yeah, but like that Manning cast, bro, that shit's like... That
perfect.
Like, that's porn to me, bro.
Your 75 is going to be no Manning cast neither.
Yeah.
There's your porn over there. But, yeah, man, it's fire. I love seeing that type of stuff. So if you had one billboard in the middle of Times Square, what would be on it?
We, not me. That's our motto in Woonsocket, bro. It's not about you. It's about the man inside of you. That's kind of how I've always coached. Like, I throughout the podcast try to say that it's not about me. I don't like doing the interviews, bro. I don't like doing articles or anything like that, bro. I want the kids to have all of this success, bro. I want everything to be lived through these kids. So we, not me. If you always looking out for the man on the left and right of you, you always going to be all right, right? Especially in life. Like, I encourage these dudes to do community service. Half my kids are involved in the youth program. They go down there, coach after our practice, and I love to see it. Just give back, make the world a better place, because that's all I'm ever trying to do, so... I encourage dudes to give back. So the "We Not Me" motto is what we've always kind of ran with. I remember that I made that the first year, and as I was head coach, take the W as the "We," flip it down as the "Me," right? We this way, we not this way, right? So be about everybody. Don't be about yourself.
Man, I love that, man. It's big, like, you know, like developing young adults too is a big key, which I love seeing. Like, you know, I feel like the Breakthrough does that. You seem like you're doing that with Socket.
Yeah.
Mike's doing that. Central, helping these kids out, stuff like that, man. Making this beyond just sports.
And like I said, I put that out in 2017 when I got the job. So all these teams right now that are trying to take "We Not Me," 2017 trademark, bae.
Yeah, out of here.
I don't got a trademark. I should have. I would have paid some money. 2017, I had that on a shirt, so.
Yeah, you guys sell these at Prosody Classic next week. But, and another one, man. If your biggest hater wrote a book about you, what would the title of it be? Really introspective question right there. Your biggest hater wrote a book about you. What would the title of it be?
I don't know, bro. I feel like a lot of people look at me and think that I'm an asshole. I don't blame them. if you look at me from across the sidelines, that's probably exactly what I look like. I probably look like a psychopath. But they don't really understand the work that went into this, right? They don't understand what we do Monday through Friday, how many hours went into this, how many years went into this. So, yeah, I may look like I'm a psycho or an asshole or whatever, but it's just passion. But my biggest hater wrote a book, what would the cover be? What would the title be? That's a good question, bro.
It really makes you think. It's like, what are people thinking about?
I feel like it's like the Hate It or Love It song, right? Yeah, Underdog. I like that, Underdog. Like I said,
it's perfect for Woonsocket too.
Yeah, like I said, when I got the job, I don't really think a lot of people believed in me. I know a lot of people didn't believe in me.
That sparked the fire a little bit more.
But a lot of them people believe in me now, bro. But like I said, man, I try to work every single day. Like, I got a point to prove. What do I look like getting my ass kicked 28-0 and saying, "Oh, I won Super Bowls 4 years ago, bro. Who cares?" Nah, that shit don't matter no more. So I have a point to prove every single day, man. I still want to be great at this. I'm not okay with just being mediocre or anything like that. So I think the stack was against me for a long time. I think it's against us now because, I mean, obviously since COVID, we haven't really been as successful as we wanted to be. But we just keep battling adversity, man. I feel like we do our best work when we're stacked against the, like when we're in a corner, right? I tell my kids all the time, if you were backed in a corner, the only thing you can do is swing, right? So, yeah, I think underdog's a good title. I'll take that.
He wasn't with them shooting in the gym.
Yeah, no, exactly, man. I spent a lot of nights alone watching that iPad, bro.
Do you get like criticized sometimes from like your family or females or anything like that? Like, you're spending too much time on this, Charlie, man. Relax.
All the time. Some of my closest friends, they understand, like, from July to November, don't even call, text, nothing, yo. I'm probably not going to answer. I'm not chilling. Even when we win games, a lot of my coaches would be like, oh, we're going to get a quick six. Nah, that ain't me. Go home, watch film. When we lose, I'm miserable for the whole weekend. My whole life stops, right? Because we had an objective. We ain't accomplished it, so we don't, shit ain't sweet. But if you want to be great at shit, that takes sacrifice, right?
For sure.
I tell my kids, you got to sacrifice it in order to be great. I could have been a better son. Could have been a better brother. Could have been a better boyfriend to some people. Could have been a better mentor, role model to other people. Or a better friend. Like, you know, I've missed a lot of birthday parties, get-togethers, whatever it may be, just because this is something I want to be great at. But my closest friends who love me, they know the deal. And like I said, we use that L word a lot in our locker room. They know what I'm about. And like I said, I just lead by example, man. Like, these kids know when they go, they look at the film numbers, right? And like on a huddle, you can go to your activity and see it. So when we watch film and my thing's on the projector, my phone's tied to the projector, they see it in hours, right? And I think that gives them a little bit of more little confidence. Like, oh, shit, coach watched that many hours of film? He must know. And then when I start yelling about the corner and I'm telling him what the corner cleats are, you know damn well as many film I watch.
Oh,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, man, like, I can tell you what.
Do you have any funny stories when kids like lie to you? Like, coach, I watched this. And it's like, I know you did not.
Oh, God, yes. Motherfucker. All the time. But I remember second Super Bowl, we were prepping for Mount Pleasant. They had a running back. Freddie Malay. I don't know if you know Freddie.
He's a BJ. He played my brother, actually.
Yeah. I tested these dudes to make sure we were watching film. And one of the questions were, what color is cleats? I still know Freddie's cleats. Was the back of my goddamn head, bro. That man was good, bro. I was so scared about him. And that Super Bowl, thank God it rained because it slowed him down. But I knew exactly what his cleats were. I knew his wristbands. I knew how, like, we knew how he cut, what foot he liked to cut on. Like, we had it figured out, man. But shout out to Pat Pass. Like I said, that's the NFL film regiment that he put these kids through, man. Like,
do you have like film requirements they gotta watch?
We try to. But like a lot of the kids, like I said, we have teachers in the building, so a lot of the kids will go watch it on the teachers' stuff because like school kind of blocks their iPads from huddle and stuff.
Yeah, gotcha.
So they'll watch it on coaches. They'll watch it together. So film like numbers wise, I don't too much. But like, yeah, we do a test every week. And nice. You gotta pass the test. So.
Do you have, again, I guess kind of ties up everything you said so far in the podcast, but if you had, like, one or two things to change Rhode Island football to make it better, what do you think you would do?
Spring ball, one. That's for sure. But secondly would be a JUCO somewhere in the state, right?
That'd be nice.
I know me and Stan have talked about this for years. Breakthrough charter, bro. Open that.
He would get a lot of people signing up quick.
Like, I think JUCO, like if CCRI had a team, I think that opens a shit ton of doors. I think that there's kids that just haven't grown up yet, man. They're babies, right? Especially like in inner city. Like, all of these kids have an unfair advantage where they got to go home and babysit for their mom and dad. So whatever the case may be, they can't just be a kid. So they mature a little later because they didn't get to do all those experiences, right? So they need that extra year of high school, so, right? So if you have that JUCO, it ends up being that extra 2 years, and I think that's huge for Rhode Island. I think that there's a lot of kids in-house that may not have the grades to go to them four-year schools, but could go to a CCRI, could play, could get right in the classroom and get to that GPA where they can go somewhere else and have that bridge, right? Thank God, like, right now, like, look at Stan. Stan's providing that right now at Suffield, right?
MFR, I love to see that.
But I think if CCRI had it, that shit would blow up.
100%, man. I was actually part of, like, a team that tried to do it. Did not work. They were not
the Eagles?
It did not work.
That's when I started, actually, I went back to school in 2018, and I remember the athletic director at CCRI at the time, I can't even remember his name, was my sociology professor. And we had mentioned it, too.
Yeah, they weren't hearing it at all.
Nah, you didn't want to hear it.
I don't get it. It makes no sense. It'd be the most popular sport there, not even a question. Probably. That and basketball, isn't it?
There's a million places you can play in the state, too. Like, I'd open my doors. Like, when Saka's about to get a new brand new facility next year, bro, you can play over here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I'll find the people for you.
So, I agree with that.
They needed JUCO, and I think spring ball would just keep the interest going year round. I mean, obviously, I encourage my kids to go out there and play other sports. Like, I want track guys. I want wrestlers. I want basketball players and baseball players. Just be the best athlete you can be, and let the offers come in, and then, you know, pinpoint where you want to go. But,
I think this is my first time really saying it. I think it should be more of like a, again, I want to say better ADs, but more of like a college NFL system where like we reevaluate these coaches after every so amount of years. Contracts. This shouldn't be a coach for fucking 50 years.
I agree there. And I agree with the same thing in the schools, man. I feel like you can't have a teacher that's there for that long as well, right? Just the time difference and like the relationships. We got one in the middle school. Shout out to Mr. Phillips, bro. He's adapted over time. He was a sub when I was in school. He's still teaching. So he's
not
adapted
that crazy.
Over the
like, oh, damn,
you
like.
Have those teachers that adapt over the years, and you have the coaches that adapt over the years, but the greater amount don't. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a big reason that these kids don't have the values that they have, because they don't have no connections in the building, right? I remember when I was going to school, like, I enjoyed a lot of my teachers. Like, I showed up a lot because of those teachers, right? And I feel like, I don't know if we have that same, you know, connection in these schools these days, but like you said on the football field, I mean, there's a guy out there, Barrington, that just won, Sandy Gorman. You know, I think he's close to 80. He just won, so obviously he's transitioning well. But like you said, the greater amount don't.
Yeah, and there should be a good evaluation process. If you're adapting, 100%. Okay, cool. Yeah, you're adapting, but if you're not, peace the fuck out.
Yeah,
we're replacing your ass.
Absolutely, absolutely. But then if you evaluate after every year, or so you get the me and Mike's who are kind of psychos, and you might get a couple flags, and that may not look good in our evaluation. So,
but it balances out.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, exactly.
Part of the tab would be how do the kids like this coach? You know,
right? Yeah, is interview the kids. That's
evaluated
them.
A lot. Yeah, bounce it off.
But I remember even the last 2 years we've gotten to play Central, and both games at halftime the refs called us over and had a meeting, and I know what they're asking, so I'm walking out there, and me and Mike are just laughing at each other already because we know what they're gonna say. But yeah, man, it's fun to coach against those kind of guys, man, because like they're on the same time we are, man, bro. Like they competitors, but they want the best for their kids, and I know what Mike does at Central, bro. He's saving lives, bro, just like I'm doing over at Woonsocket, just like we're doing over at Woonsocket. Like I said, no eyes. I got a staff that looks out for these kids every single day. Another one, shout out Michael Cinquantini. He was a coach that we took up from the youth league, and he's been an absolute blessing, bro. He works so hard, and he's with these kids every single day. He took in a good group of them up to college visits this year. So he's been an asset for our program over the last few years. Now that kind of Pat had stepped aside, Mike kind of filled that role for us. But yeah, man, like I said, we support our kids 24/7. So I think it's huge.
That's what's up, man. Getting close to the end. Any closing words you want to say? Anybody else you've missed, like shout out wise, or most of you missed shout out wise?
Nah, man, I think like I said, I don't want to get too personal because then I'm gonna have to sit there and shout out everybody. But definitely the 2018 team, 2019 team, those are my guys forever. We always have the family forever hashtag to everything we do. Those are my guys forever, man. I can't wait till I'm 60-year-old coach Wayne, all them assistants.
Get them reevaluated because you're your own process, and you're gonna get kicked out.
And by then, I can put the pause on them. But no, man, that's just been always my goal, was to create great young men so that one day they can come and take what I'm doing and just keep it going, right?
Yeah, man. Another new we're talking about, I was talking about competition, and I thought about competition. This happened yesterday. How the hell do you feel about the Steelers? What the hell are they doing? How do you feel about that? Would you want that kind of competition at Woonsocket? Two quarterbacks?
I think it's a decent situation for Fields to be in, right? I think they're going to give him every opportunity to win the job, right? I think Russell Wilson, he may not have the best 2 years, but he's still a veteran, right? He goes about business the right way. So I think that's a good person for him to learn from. But, in week three, bro, they could not have any good quarterbacks that can throw the football successfully, right? I think there's some hope for Fields. I think he played decently the last, half of the season or so. They won some games. And I don't know. I'm not too sure. Like, I know Caleb Williams' talent is through the roof, bro. I'm, like I said, you know, obviously with the podcast, I'm a big character guy. I got some character concerns about that guy, bro.
So you pass on him. If you're the Bears, who you picking then? You're passing on Caleb? You going Daniels?
I think I'm trading back. But I got no quarterback right now, right? If you're the Bears. So yeah. I think you're stuck. And I think you got to draft him now. You put yourself in a shitty position. I think you could have signed a decent backup, like a Gardner Minshew or something like that.
Garoppolo.
Garoppolo, take his ass off my hands. Yeah, I think they put themselves in a position where I think they have to draft him. I mean, I think there's still some situation where, I don't know if you've watched Washington, they traded Howell for a gang of picks.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to create a trade package to move up to one to take Williams. Because I know they got Kingsbury. I know he wants him.
Yeah, Commanders, they're making some moves.
Yeah, so they loaded up on picks. I think they're going to just try to, you know, send a bunch of picks to Chicago for the one and just swap with them. And I think they want Williams because I think, you know, obviously Kingsbury has that connection. And then I think that's where you see the Bears take May because I think that's who they really do want. I think in a year or so, like, I mean, it could be biased. I'm a Michigan guy. I think JJ, if he sit him for a year, he's going to be special. I think he just needs a year under the right guy. Daniels, I mean, I think the book's still out on. I think he athleticism's through the roof, and he can throw the ball through the roof. But I don't know if we got that much tape on him, right? Bo Nix is another one. I think he's pretty good.
He's like older than the majority of like a couple amount of NFL quarterbacks.
He feels like he's been around forever. But he's very accurate. And then Penix is a dog too. But I like Penix. I mean, obviously he has the injury history. But there's some good quarterbacks. I don't think the Bears have kind of cornered themselves exactly to one guy. But it's kind of the position. It seems like they want to go. I don't know. I think they still might trade the pick because I still believe that Kingsbury wants Caleb that bad. So we'll see.
Look, guys, we tested his knowledge. He came through with the facts quick on everybody. The entire quarterback draft of this year. He gave a little prediction and analyst on all of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably my favorite day of the combine is the quarterback day.
Are you big college and NFL guy?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather watch college than NFL. And I mean, college and pros in any sport. I think the heart's better. I think the creativity's better. I love watching college. Like, that's why I kind of like about when soccer not having lights right now is we have that Saturday afternoon feel, right? I definitely like college more. You know, most of the sports, even basketball, I tend to watch college basketball more than NBA. But football, I just kind of watch anything, bro. You put on some 6-year-old flag game, I'm watching. So.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, so you must have been really excited when Quiddy was at Michigan.
Yeah, it's cool. Sure, Quiddy sure. Being there. It was definitely dope. Definitely dope. Unless I coached against Quiddy, it was dope to be able to have that experience as well. And then even like, I'm not a Colts fan or so to say, but I mean, it's not a team I hate by any means either. So it's definitely cool to watch them.
Yeah,
I mean,
if it was in New England, I'd be like, oh, fuck.
If you're New England or San Fran, I hate San Fran, dude.
Oh, you definitely must say San Fran. Yeah, San Fran, New England.
Spice those guys.
Those are going to be two top-hated teams.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Because like, if we make it to the Super Bowl, the Patriots beat us. If we about to get to the Super Bowl, it's usually the 49ers beat us.
So. Dude, I hate the Ravens, essentially, because the Ravens just always beat us. It's like, God damn it. Like, I love Lamar, but the Ravens just own us. Like, this year, we could have got first seed, or we'd be dropped down to, like, 6. Yeah. And then the Ravens just destroy us.
Yeah.
And on top of that, how do you feel about this of being a head coach? They're up by fucking 40 with 3 minutes left, and these motherfuckers, first of all, I don't know why Bradley Chubb was in the game. Motherfucker tears his ACL.
Yeah.
And then next play, they throw a touchdown. That is so fucked up.
Yeah, nah, that's definitely a
horrible thing to do.
Yeah, so there's that, like, the unwritten rules, right? I do think that is one of them, but I think it varies on the opponent if there's some bad blood.
But there's no bad blood. They kick grass all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And especially that time of year, too. I feel like it was late in the season. I don't feel like you even needed to be doing that. But, like, again, Bradley Chubb probably shouldn't have been on the field.
He 100% should have not been.
Mistakes like that should happen, right? But, like, I don't know. I've had some bad blood with coaches who I ran it up on.
Right? You're doing it. You're like, I know
you. But people have done it to me, too, right? So I've had it on both ends. But
do you regret doing it afterwards? You're like, nah, they deserve it.
Nah, there was one time I had no regrets. Yeah. But then, like I said, it happened to me, and I was just like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have did that one time. But at the end of the time, it's like I said, same thing, bro. Like, we got beat 55-0 on Thanksgiving, year after COVID. We ate that shit, right? Took that shit right on the chin. 2 years later, trophy sent back home with me. So,
how about the Winston one? when he ran the sneak, he changed the head coach.
Like I said, my quarterback got free range, bro. My quarterbacks, they know the playbook just as well as I do. If you see something, go with it, because at the end of the day, I got my guy up top, and I got me. We've seen it from this view. You're seeing it from a different view. But like I said, it took years for Dante to be able to have that go.
But you're fine with Winston doing that? Like, if Jameis was your quarterback, you guys, they're up 40 to nothing.
Yeah, so what was it? They were up by a lot, and they threw it to somebody for his contract, right?
They audibled it, gave it to Williams for his first touchdown of the season.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. He deserved a touchdown, right? Yeah. I'm okay with that, bro. Like I said, I think because it's Williams, I think that's a big part of it, right? If it was somebody else other than Jamal Williams, I mean, I think around the league, Jamal Williams is one of the most loved locker room guys, right? Like, every interview he has, he's so passionate about his teammates and everything. So I think that's one that you do it for, right? Especially Jameis Winston at the time. Contract year, not starting, not even getting an opportunity to start. Derek Carr sucks, too.
Yeah, I thought Winston was better.
And like, I've always liked Jameis Winston. I mean, yeah, he a clown, but like I said, people want to play for that dude. So obviously he's doing something right. So like I said, I respect his leadership. I respect Jamal Williams' leadership. So I think that's the situation where it might be okay to do.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think that the other team took it some type of animosity. I think they understood what it was and who it was too. So
the coach flipped the fuck out. They're in a fight.
Oh yeah, because they called a timeout. He was mad about the timeout. Yeah. So again, though, he's running the ball, bro. Like, if I'm up by 40 and I'm running the ball and you can't stop me, that's your fucking problem. But I'm not going to throw it and sit here and disrespect you, right?
Yeah,
but I'm not running my starters. If you can't tackle my third string running back, bro, figure it out, right? So,
yeah, but end the podcast off. Any memorable like coaching battles you had? It seems like Mike, you keep bringing up Mike. Do you guys have a lot of coaching battles over there as memorable ones?
The 2-9 with them was definitely fun. One of the most fun games I've ever played. I don't think he sees it that way right now. But it was fun for me. Like I said, I think we had opportunities to score a lot. And we didn't. I think they had opportunities to score a lot, and they didn't, which made the game the reason why it was 2-9, right? It was most of the game was played between the 40s. Like, we didn't really get the 40. Nobody really got much momentum. I mean, a little bit here and there, but one of the most physical games I ever played. Best game I ever coached, I think, 2018 to go to the Super Bowl. We played Westerly. We were down 21-2 at halftime, or 21-9 at halftime. We were down 21-2 at some point in the game, 21-9 at half. We ended up winning the game 22-21.
That's great.
To go to the Super Bowl. Westerly beat us 62-12 that season. So that was the first Super Bowl year. Emmanuel Gomez, fucking hell of a game. But again, shout out to Emmanuel. Broke free with about a minute left. Didn't score. Went down on the one.
That's huge.
So that's just the kind of kid he was. Like I said, besides Quiddy, that was the best high school football player I've ever seen. Call me biased, whatever you want, but he was that good.
But yeah, man.
Yeah, that was definitely one of those two memorable games. Obviously, Super Bowl, I mean, I was 0-6 as a player in Super Bowls. So
0-6?
0-6, bro.
That's a lot of Super Bowls to lose. Holy shit.
Yeah, so
youth and then high school?
Yeah, so 3 in youth. Like, so second year of youth, like, you know how, like, it's what? 9, 10, 10, 11.
Yeah.
13, whatever. Every year we would go into the Super Bowl. So like my 10-year-old team, my 12-year-old team, my 14-year-old team, if that makes sense. We always went to the Super Bowl that second year. We lost every single one to Mount Hope Cowboys. Remember that. And then I coached my first one. We lost to West Elmwood Intruders. And that was like my first year. That was the 2011 year when I first started coaching. Then 2012 in Socket, we lost. I was on staff. We lost to Cumberland. We got our ass whooped. I think it was 42-7 or something like that. So I lost those, and I lost 2 as a semi-pro player, so 0-6. Won my first as a head coach.
I feel like a tear must have dropped from your eye.
It was more of, like, I shit you not, bro. Obviously, like, the circumstances with, like I said, that tragedy, that was very, very important. But now what? Right? I worked my whole life for this moment, but I thought it was going to be, I don't know. I thought I was going to have some life-altering experience or some body change, but nah. It was just kind of like, now what? Like, I want this feeling again.
More motivation.
Let's go do it again. And, like, you know, now we got, you know, we won the second one. We were about to roll for the third one, and then COVID came. So then we opted out of that spring season. So the kids in Woonsocket didn't have football for a good amount of 2 years. I think it was like 676 days, I think. Damn. Exactly was. I had the timeline. I remember. Oh, I posted that. But anyway, you know, after that, them kids lost football for that long. They lost contact with us throughout the process because we couldn't really, you know, the school kind of told us we couldn't really talk to them on social media or whatever. I hopped on Fortnite with them. That's how I communicated with my kids throughout COVID, was just hopping on Fortnite. But hold on. So 16 months away. I'm going to get the first game because I had 667. Perfect. Right on the dot.
Holy snap. That's so nuts.
Yeah, we didn't have football for that long. Changed my life. Made me actually, like, before COVID, you know, I was an absolute psychopath. Kind of grew up after that, right? Learned the bigger picture, right? Because I understood what losing football meant for me for those 2 years and them losing them kids for them 2 years. And I know it had to be way harder for them.
Right? Sure.
So, bigger picture, you know, I understand what I'm just trying to do the Lord's work, bro, now. Winning don't, like, obviously, as a competitor, I want to win, but winning another Super Bowl, if I ever won another Super Bowl, I wouldn't care. I'm more focused on getting these kids out of Woonsocket, getting them to college, getting them to trade school, whatever I got to do to get them the hell out. That's my purpose.
I love seeing, man, ambitious there. Ambition trying to put Woonsocket on the map. I'd love to see it. So make sure you check out my guy, Charlie. Upcoming season and Prophecy class next week, and all those we'll make clips of them, you know, the golf tournament and you know, your passing league and stuff like that. Yeah. So busy year. Sounds like I got you in right in time, because months from now, don't text him, he's not answering.
Yeah. Nope. And like I said, June 1st is the golf tournament. It's at Crystal Lake, that's in Burrillville. Beautiful course. Like I said, 135 a person, 2 for 540 a foursome. If you play golf, it's a great time. What we try to do too is, if we see other people doing a golf tournament, like other teams, we try to enter, because I know North Kingstown does one. We tried to enter last year. Unfortunately, it got filled before we could. But they do the same thing. They try to join ours. So we try to support other teams. Hopefully, the other teams support us. Shout out to Coach Kessler at Middletown. We do Super Bowl squares. He buys one. We buy one from him. Same thing with Blake Pilgrim at Pilgrim. You know,
Dolphin fan. Love my guy Blake.
Dolphin fan, right? Yeah, I didn't even put two to do together.
We stick together, fans.
But yeah, but Blake's the same thing as Stan. Like we kind of graduated the same year of high school, and then we started coaching around the same time. So we kind of just gravitated together. And shout out Blake, he does an amazing thing for his kids too.
Yeah, man, I love seeing, you know, getting this football community together.
Yeah.
You know, competing my breakthrough coaches. You know, I had Renz on, Ryan Legend,
yeah.
Mike, Alex, S. Yeah. So, you know, love putting the community together, helping out, build around football, man. It's bigger than, you know, us, like you said. It's not us, you know, us as a football community.
Yeah, I think we all doing the same thing, bro. We're trying to make the world a better place, and we're using just the game of football is our tool to do it, bro. Right? I think it's just a way bigger picture than just football, but football is the way we're just getting the kids to buy in, right? So, I mean, shout out to all those guys. They all do the same things we do, man. Shout out Alex. Even, you know, Fredo, Sauce, they're doing the same exact things, man. I mean, we just try to make the world a better place, and football is our tool to do it, bro.
Yeah, man. I love Steven. I love to see you guys doing that. So, shout out. Dropping same week, but we'll be at the Breakthrough Prosody Classic. We'll be doing live streams there. I'm sure my guy will make an appearance there and talk about some live footage on the field. So, and I'll make sure I have these goddamn windscreens so I can post them this time.
I'm excited for it. I know I got a couple of our guys on various teams, so I'm gonna see our guys, like, once our guys be able to compete against each other.
Anybody we should keep an eye out for the Prosody Classic? At least Woonsocket guys or anybody else, you know.
Woonsocket guys, right? Woonsocket guys. So I don't care where they play. Shout out AB. He balling for LaSalle right now. He's always fun to watch. You can always find him because he never shuts up. Right? You can always find out where AB gonna be. So I'm excited to see him. Kobe Downing's another Woonsocket guy. I'm excited to see him. I know he's on the 7-on-7 scene. But we got a couple of our guys doing it. Our quarterback, Pat Munger, is on one team. I'm excited to see Pat. But I'm going to try not to do the field manager on that field. So I don't get called for no bias stuff. But it's just fun. I just like watching kids compete, man. We had a team from Canada last year. You remember them?
Yeah.
It was just awesome to see them compete. They're out there speaking French on the field. Like, I don't know what's going on. But it's absolutely dope. I froze my ass off out there. I loved every minute of it.
One of their players, I think, just got an offer from BC, actually.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. Shout out Miles Craddock. I think he got an offer from BC, too. He's from Moses Brown. Putting Rhode Island on the map, man.
And shout out Renz getting that job at Moses Brown.
Yeah, shout out Renz. I think that's huge for them. And I also think that's something that Hendrick and LaSalle should fare.
No, right? It's gonna be It'd be intriguing to see.
Well, I got to play him. He in our division. I'm not looking forward to that. But I think that's great for Moses Brown.
Hey, man, look what, you know, what was his name?
Stan just took a kid from Moses Brown to Southfield.
Oh, dope. That's fire. Oh, yeah. I met Coach Edward.
The guy on our staff?
No, he's
Willie Edwards.
Willie Edwards. Yeah, look what he did at Moses Brown.
Shout out to OG Willie Edwards, bro. So same thing with me, man. When I was young and coaching, we had this early success. I'm not a guy who thinks I know it by any means, bro. I reached out to Willie Edwards. He's been an asset to me, man. I reach out to him all the time if I have questions. Or even just to let him know, bro, like, you really open a door for us young guys, right? We look up to you. I look up to Eddie. He knows that. I made it very known, so.
Yeah, like, that's what's up, man. Seeing what he did at Moses Brown, I can't imagine what Ren's going to do. Like, yeah, one of the same. One of the same.
Willie, I'm still telling you, bro, my 2018 team, we giving you guys work. The year Moses Brown team. I forgot what year. We battled on this about Facebook all these years. But, yeah, I love Willie. He's been a great mentor to a lot of us, man. I know he's even had these conversations with SD, Mike. Like, I know, you know, shout out to Emerson Kilgore because he's the same way. You know, he kind of just, I love having these guys who try to just, like, don't try to bash us for what we're trying to do, right? We have a high energy or whatever, but give us the tools that you had.
For right? sure.
And I think that Willie's definitely does that. Emerson really does that.
Good dudes. And,
you know, personally for me, it's been Eddie Ouellette. You know, he brought me in coaching in 2011. My first year as head coach, he didn't join staff right away. He joined like a month after, but he's been a blessing ever since. And then he's been out DC the last few years and absolute blessing to us. But again, absolute blessing to me personally, just because he opened all these doors for me. And when I was playing, he was a young coach, right? So he was only, he's don't get mad if I say it wrong. I think he's 5 years older than me. All right. But he was my coach growing up often. So we'd ride in the games. Like, we're playing Woonsocket Redskins. We're playing Smithfield Vikings. We're riding in Eddie's backseat. He got the subs going. He got DMX blasting. So that's kind of what I, like, you know what I mean? I was like, I want to be, if I coach, I want to be like Eddie, bro. Like, I want kids, to, like, I want to be a player's coach. I want kids to just love me.
No, right? For sure, man.
And, yeah, I think we do a good job with that.
Yeah, man, make sure you I think you do a great job as well, man. So keep it up. We'll be at Pro City Classic. Tap in. Make sure you tap in your guy right here underneath him. His Instagrams, the Woonsocket Instagram as well. Your boy, EG Pot of Thunder, Explore FF on all social media. Tap in. Let's get it, baby.